Pope Francis is set to address Congress tomorrow, and the presidential field is a bit smaller after the departure of Wisconsin's Scott Walker.
Joining us now for a look at those and other top stories is Harry Enten. He's a senior political writer and analyst at 538. Harry, thanks as always.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, on Monday, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker pulled out of the Republican primary field, encouraged some of his colleagues to follow his lead. You've been writing about this, Harry, and you wrote that the candidates who drop out early doesn't necessarily mean that they're bad candidates. How so?
So, you know, I'll start off by just saying that Walker dropping out was a huge surprise, given that we all thought he was going to be a pretty strong candidate. And the fact that he dropped out early doesn't dissuade me, or pretty much most people who know what they're talking about, or at least I like to think know what they're talking about, from that opinion. And what basically I looked at was who are the candidates who stayed in the longest, who didn't actually end up winning the nomination. If you look back over time, those candidates are people like Ron Paul, Dennis Kucinich. Basically, candidates that most people would agree really had no shot at winning the nomination. And the reason they stuck in the race was simply because they had nowhere else to go. They had nothing better to do. They weren't looking towards the future. They recognized that they really didn't have a real shot of winning campaigns in the future. When you look at somebody like Scott Walker, however, you can look back at his own history. Look back to 2006 when he wanted to run for governor, in fact, started a campaign before backing out because he realized he had no real shot of winning the Republican nomination, said, you know what, I'm going to step back, I'll gather my forces, make a stronger run 4 years later. And my guess is we haven't heard the last from Scott Walker, at least on the presidential level.
Right. Some people you wrote get out early because they have something to lose by staying in.
Right, exactly. You know, if you look back, who were people who, you know, got out earlier, these types of people tend to be candidates who have something to lose, who probably want to run in the future, but they don't want to upset the party apparatus. Remember, in this year, in 2015-16, for the 2016 race, you have somebody in Donald Trump who's running, who's sucking up all the oxygen in the room. And the last thing that the establishment wants is to be divided. They want one strong candidate to be able to take on the likes of somebody like Trump. And when Walker's in the race and you have Rubio and Bush and Kasich, that divides the establishment vote. And what the establishment wants is to get behind one strong candidate. And Walker, I think, recognized that fact. Now, Walker had other problems for sure. But Walker recognized that fact and recognized that if he stayed in the race too long, he would upset the establishment. And if Walker wants to run for president in the future, he's going to need the establishment backing. So he figured, why? I'm going to cut my losses. Why upset people when I really have no shot of winning this year?
Speaking of Donald Trump, in his brief exit speech, Scott Walker didn't say Donald Trump by name, but he who shall not be named, I guess, the front runner, he said. He was encouraging other candidates to get out of the field to do, as you say, counter Donald Trump. Who is next then? Are there other candidates in Scott Walker's position who might get out and give a similar message?
You know, I don't know if there's anybody as strong as Walker possibly could have been who could get out. But I mean, there's some, you know, there are people like George Pataki, Jim Gilmore, people who really have no shot, who probably, if I were guessing, would be the ones that would get out next. But, you know, you don't know. Remember, Jeb Bush, his super PAC, is going on the air right now in Iowa and New Hampshire, and he has favorable ratings, which aren't terrible but aren't really too high. But he's raised a lot of this money that he hopes to be able to spend or have his super PAC spend. And if the numbers don't move for him and he recognizes, you know what, I'm really spending this money and it's not leading me anywhere, then he might be the type of candidate who might take a step back and you say, you know what, I can't stand Donald Trump. I can't possibly have him win. Why am I wasting this money? I can give this money to another candidate who might have a better shot of winning, say, like a Marco Rubio, who I think is one of the candidates who benefits most from Walker jumping out. And that's the type of thing that's going to be we're going to be seeing in the next few months, weeks and months ahead, is candidates spending money. And if they see the numbers aren't moving, but they have the money, they might decide to give that money to somebody else. Walker, of course, ran out of money, which is part of the reason that he left the race.
One indicator you've been tracking at 538 is endorsements, looking at them in past campaigns and now in this one. These outsider candidates, Donald Trump, Ben Carson, a lot of popularity in some polls, but not getting those endorsements. Now, Carly Fiorina, the other kind of outsider candidate, did get her first endorsement from a sitting congresswoman, Lynn Jenkins of Kansas. Is that a sign? Is that a bit of momentum for her?
Yeah, I mean, Carly Fiorina is this interesting candidate. You know, we have this thing on 538 that sort of tracks, you know, where we think candidates fit in within the Republican Party. And Fiorina, unlike, say, Carson and Trump, kind of has a foot in what we would call the establishment camp. And I think that shows with, I think she got a second endorsement today from Representative Miller up in Michigan. It kind of shows that she might be able to toe this line between the establishment and the outsider types. And more than that, you know, she's had these very strong debate performances. The Democratic nominee is likely to be Hillary Clinton. So, you know, I think Republicans are thinking, hey, it might not be a bad idea to put a woman up against her. So Fiorina is a candidate who has a lot of promise and a lot of appeal. Of course, the problem with Fiorina is that her record at Hewlett-Packard is going to be, you know, dug into, and they're going to see that there are plenty of flaws with that. Every candidate looks good when you get a first look at them, but then you start to discover what their flaws are, and it's going to be interesting to see if Fiorina can keep her momentum going once people start to dig into her record.
It's our weekly look at national politics with Harry Enten from 538. Let's turn from the presidential race now, Harry, to the Pope. He's not up for re-election anytime soon, I don't think, but he is giving some big speeches at United Nations, Congress. He's talking today, will parade by the White House. How is he being received? It's putting some people in Congress in a weird position on both sides.
You know, the Pope is so interesting insofar as that, you know, we don't really see anyone like him who has this type, or at least elected officials who has the type of ideology that he does. Somebody who is an economic populist who also believes that climate change, man-made climate change, is a real thing, but at the same time, you know, is pro-life. And holds some pretty conservative views on gay marriage. So it's a very interesting, you know, sort of situation where elected officials will certainly disagree with him on a number of things and agree with him on other things. But if you look at the polling, what you see is that Democrats overwhelmingly hold a far more favorable view of this Pope than do Republicans. And that's, I think, because the Pope has sort of spoken out more on economic injustice, has spoken out more on climate change, has spoken out more on immigration, has sort of, I think, at least in the American press, his views on social issues are less played up. So there's at least already one Republican who's going to be boycotting his congressional speech tomorrow. I wouldn't be surprised if there are more than that. But there's a reason why the president's parading him around, and that's because this Pope is seen largely by Democrats as a positive influence versus Republicans who are much more split on him.
Right. Those issues you just listed out, pro-life, but also pro-environment, economic issues, past popes have had pretty similar views, but the emphasis is so different that what used to be a tough issue for Democrats is now a tougher one to juggle, it seems like, for Republicans.
It's exactly right. You know, if I could, you know, make an allusion of the presidential race, it's something almost like a John Kasich, who also, you know, has some liberal positions and some more conservative positions, but his emphasis has potentially been more on those issues that might, you know, sort of be less liked by the Republican base. And that's the same thing almost with this Pope, whereby he has plenty of conservative issues, just like all the popes that have come before him. But at least with him, the issues that are being played up are those issues that play more to the Democratic than Republican base. And that's why you're seeing Republicans not as enthused about this Pope, while Democrats like President Obama are welcoming him with open arms.
Turning more closely to Congress, abortion and Planned Parenthood are issues on the agenda, Planned Parenthood in particular, with this possible government shutdown coming up at the end of the month. Talk us through the latest on that.
Well, you know, there are a number of things, but obviously if anyone who's been following Congress, you know, over the past few years knows that talk of a shutdown come the end of September is not exactly it's not something that's too surprising.
Harry, it's deja vu all over again, if I can quote the late Yogi Berra.
I'd love any quote from the late Yogi Berra. It's exactly that. You know, it's deja vu all over again. This year seems to be less likely than other years that we're going to have a shutdown. There seems to be movement towards a continuing resolution to fund the government through the end of the year anyway. But, you know, we have to keep our eye out. And the thing that, of course, may very well be the sort of defining point is whether or not the federal government's going to fund Planned Parenthood. And we know that Republicans don't want it to be funded, But, of course, there are Democrats in Congress and a president who needs to sign the legislation. So, you know, that's going to be the dividing point. It's going to be very interesting to see whether or not they could actually fund the government. My guess is that they will, but, you know, with the Republican Congress and the conservative caucus, we can't say for sure.
Ted Cruz, again, wanted to make an issue of this. He was a key player in the last actual shutdown. Is he making a lot of noise?
It's interesting. I think that's one of the more interesting points that's going on in this presidential contest so far is that Ted Cruz really hasn't made so much noise. He's been drowned out. I think a lot of Republicans have been drowned out by Donald Trump. It's going to be very interesting to see as we get right down to the nitty-gritty of the wire to see where these candidates are exactly lining up. But I would say what's at least interesting in Congress is that someone like Kelly Ayotte, a senator up in New Hampshire, she's been making some of the most noise, and in fact, that she's been arguing against the government shutdown, saying that we need to fund the government. There's no place else where we can go, and that if we don't fund the government, it'll be a victory for Democrats.
There's been some talk among conservative Republicans that maybe this is the time John Boehner gets ousted if he doesn't do what they want on Planned Parenthood funding. There's been this kind of talk before. John Boehner is still the speaker. Is there anything to it this time?
I think there's probably more to it this time, but, you know, there was very little to it last time, so just because there's more to it this time, it doesn't really mean anything. It's going to, again, this is one of the things whereby politics is interesting because some things are unpredictable. We can't take a poll of 15 or 20 or 30 Republican congressmen who could overthrow Boehner. I think there's more to it, but at this point, I think there's less to it than there was just a few weeks ago. There was a lot of noise a few weeks ago that they might overthrow him. But right now, it seems...
Sounds like we lost Harry Enten and probably won't get him back in time for news. In the meantime, head over to the Central Time Facebook page. Let us know what you think of some of the issues out there in national politics. There are ongoing discussions, of course, of Scott Walker's departure from the presidential race and our upcoming topic looking at farmers markets in Wisconsin and beyond, their growing popularity and why people go there. Head over there, share your thoughts with us on the Central Time Facebook page.